And we are coming to you live and too near home to turn back now. Good to be with you. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online. I am online, and I am live coming to you today from our top secret broadcasting bunker. Broadcasting today just outside of the area, the Forbidden Zone at the London Olympics today. Good to be with you. I've got a couple little things I want to run through today. And then today is primarily answer the emails day. I just kind of felt like the Lord would have that. And there is an email that came in. It shows up last. It actually came in last Thursday, probably at the tail end of last week's Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. And if someone is asking a question about the Trinity, and I wouldn't mind answering that question, the email address is on the bottom of the screen, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. And let me kind of fill you in on some things that are happening in our ministry. In fact, as we speak right now, we have, let's see, Gary and Bonnie and Roy and Dee and everybody else downstairs making videos, packing packages, getting stickers ready, and we're probably going to be ready to mail out our watchers packets tomorrow. I was kidding around with Bonnie today. I was down there earlier, and I said, Bonnie, every time I see this, I remember back in 2009 when just a few months after we started the Watchman video broadcast here. And it was actually, I feel like it was the Holy Ghost that gave me the idea for the Watchers packets. I was praying one time, and I just, you know, Lord, this ministry is yours. Do whatever you want to with it. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit said, write this down. And I jotted down some notes of what to do every month. And it was the Watchman video broadcast on DVD and our sermons and Bible studies and things like that. And we started mailing those. I made an announcement on what used to, it was the old Hog blog. I don't know if you remember that. MikeHogger.com. That site has been hacked so many times, we just pretty much had to bypass it. And but anyway, we made an announcement. We were asking people if they wanted to be on this monthly mail-out list. And so we ended up, Bonnie says it was 21 people on our first month of mailing out packages sometime around March or April or May, somewhere around in there, 2009. And God had just laid it on our heart to give them away for free, not to ask anybody for money, not to demand money. It's not a subscription. It's not anything else. It's just what God told us to do, and God's been blessing it. And then, oh, yes, I forgot. Alicia's down there, too. I think I did mention Alicia. She's the one that's printing out all the labels and stickers and everything like that. Kids get so touchy. When you have more than one child and you mention one of those children, the other four are going, "Who do you mean to mention me? Well, you don't love me anymore?" And I've always wanted to say, "No, I've hated you since birth. Why did you bring it up? Are you detecting it from me?" Anyway, just kidding, Alicia. And now I have to tell this to all of my children and then all the grandchildren for all of eternity. I have to tell them all this. Anyway, 21 packages we mailed out that first month, and God is blessed. And even at the beginning of 2012, we had sent out flyers in every month's package for about 4 months telling people we just want to make sure that everybody we're sending this to is getting them. And so we wanted people to reply back if they wanted to stay on the list. And so we were up to somewhere around 600 some odd. Well, we shaved that down to about 500. And then already in the beginning of August, we are back up to, I think Gary told me, somewhere around 767, 770, somewhere around in there, different packets we're going to be mailing out this month. And we have nobody to thank but the Lord Jesus. It was His idea. It's His ministry. And so anyway, they're busy down there. But the ministry is growing, and there's no doubt in my mind about it. And again, we just thank the Lord for it because He's the one that's been growing it. I think I mentioned last week, I had a guy sent me an email, and he said, "I just wanted to tell you thank you for your ministry." And he said, "You'll never believe how I found out about this." He said, "But a guy came out to shoe my horses, and he said, 'You got to see this guy.'" And he started watching, and we just praise the Lord for it. But that's the kind of stuff that's been going on. And last week I had to have a meeting with Lindsay and Alicia and Gary And I've got some people outside of our little peripheral here that are involved in this. Ariel's one of them and so on, that are helping me with emails. Before, I was the one taking in all the emails. I mean, every email that came into the ministry would go through me first, and then I would say, well, I'm going to send that to Gary, or I'm going to send this over here, or I'm going to send this over there. And so it just got to the point, I made a guy mad unintentionally, and I don't know if he's received my apology email or not, but I answered an email too hastily. And it's one of those things where if he could see the expression on my face, he would go, oh, sure, I understand, but you send an email, and he sends back, and he's pretty upset with the way I answered it, and I did not intend to be that way at all. God began to deal with me about the idea that I have, and I hate even saying this, but I have something that is just a little bit more important than being the funnel for all the emails, and that is studying the Word of God and paying attention to what God's saying through the Scriptures and what's going on in the world. And now you understand that a lot of information that I use gets sent to me by a lot of you people, and I appreciate that. And we are taking that into consideration, but what I'm telling you is that I'm no longer the front end for every piece of email that comes in here. It's just not possible for me to do that anymore. And I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want to take away from the fact that there are some people out there that just need to talk to their pastor. So we actually have it set up to where, you know, some of the informational emails will go to a few people, and they're going to sort through all these. Some of the orders are going to go to a certain person, and they're going to take care of them. You know, just little things like that. But we actually sat down and wrote out categories of emails. And one of those categories was personal pastoral emails, where you are writing me and asking me as your pastor for some help and for some guidance. Those things are still in place. Now, we actually set up a private email for me so that those and some of the really, really important ones can be sent directly to me. And I'm not going to give that out because that would kind of defeat the purpose. But if your email is it's being these people that are doing this, I trust them. We're talking about my two daughters, Gary, and so on. These are people that I trust and so on. And they're going to make sure that the email is handled, that it's handled correctly. We're kind of in the breaking in process of this. So we haven't, you know, got everything perfectly. But anyway, I still want to be your pastor, and I still want to give you the time that you need if I can. And we just kind of feel like this will work out for the best. So, and let me just say this while I'm saying this. Today is email day, and a lot of the questions that people are asking me when they send me an email, a lot of these are good questions that probably somebody else has an answer to. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In the future, if you have a Bible-related question or something like that, send me the email to thepastormikeonline@gmail.com, and I'll try to answer that during the live broadcast. And if I just don't happen to get to it one day, be persistent and send it to me the other. I mean, you are what this ministry is all about. You and your relationship with the Lord and your faith and your trust in the Bible is what this is about. And we want to be able to provide that service to you as best as we can. I appreciate your understanding in this, your patience and your help with this. And if you're the guy, and I know the name, if you're the guy that I answered that email to, I want you to know that I'm sincerely sorry for just the response. I didn't curse at the guy. You know, I didn't like flip him off in an email or anything like that. It's just that if I would have been talking to him, I would have said, you know, hang on, just give me a minute here. But with an email, it's kind of like a text message. You often can't see the expression and so on. And we rely on that as part of our communication. And so anyway, today is email day. We have our homecoming coming up. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm working on the schedule for the homecoming as we speak. I've already got the topic for Friday night worked out, and actually I already have the PowerPoint for Friday night worked out. And Friday night will begin at 7 p.m. Central Time, and we will be streaming these live. Saturday morning. We'll start at 9 a.m. and we'll probably go to about 4 p.m. On Saturday, and that's all Central Time. And I just got an email from Harmon saying that Sermon Audio is going to do some rerouting early Saturday morning, and I'm just hoping and praying that they have all of that done by 9 a.m. Central Saturday. And if you if you're trying to get online at Sermon Audio site or Pastor Mike online site, and you see that we're not streaming, it's probably not our fault. It's probably, and I don't want to say Sermon Audio's fault. They have to do what they have to do. And so anyway, but we're going to try to stream those. And if you are not able to pick up the stream, then we are going to record those and have them available on DVD. They will. In fact, I plan on the teaching that I'm doing this weekend to be the Watchman video broadcast that will come out Sunday. And there'll probably be several videos that will be posted throughout the week next week. It's going to be a busy weekend, but we're excited about it. We're excited about all the people that are coming in. And if you are coming in to our church this weekend, kind of send us an email and let us know. We really don't have it. We don't have any idea how many people are coming in. And so it would help us out. My sister is, oh my goodness, you have got to eat this pork. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing what her and her husband does with a piece of pig. I mean, it's wonderful. Anyway, we'll be delivering that on Saturday. So things are in progress. We're going to have biscuits and gravy on Saturday morning. Man, oh man, is it going to be wonderful. So we're going to have a good weekend, and we hope that you'll be able to join in with us either here in our Top Secret Broadcasting Church, or you can participate online. And let me deal with a couple things here very rapido. Some things that you have been inquiring about. Everybody's looking at the Summer Olympics, and so far, no bombs have been detonated at the Summer Olympic Games in London. And I really believe in my heart that some of the people that have been putting out this information are kind of disappointed. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom. And I think some people out there are disappointed because they put YouTube videos out there saying that hundreds of thousands are going to be massacred at the opening ceremony, and it didn't happen. But then there is the aspect of the occult nature of the opening ceremony. And I did not watch the opening ceremony. I took a day off Friday, and we went out to fishing and boating and things like that, and didn't get in time to see it. And so I missed it. And I haven't had a chance to go back on YouTube and watch the thing, but I have kind of seen a couple things that were interesting. Vigilant Citizen, I think, is one of those guys that always kind of looks into the occult nature of it, just about everything that's going on. The problem with Vigilant Citizen is that he apparently doesn't believe the Bible, or doesn't know it very well, or needs to be saved, or whatever. So whoever this person is, you pray for Mike Adams, the health ranger. Pray for Alex Jones to get saved, for crying out loud. Pray for these people. But anyway, let me just pull up a couple of graphics here very quickly for you, which deal with some of the themes of the opening ceremony. And I'm not going to cover the whole thing, but one of the things that I noted was here's this big old gigantic tree. Okay, now let's deal with the biblical symbolism of this. You'll notice that it's not in a valley; it's up on top of a hill. Sort of, somebody mentioned that it was sort of like a ziggurat. Not a cigarette, a ziggurat. And here's a better picture of it here. This all has to do with ascendancy and climbing the ladder and so on and so on. And this tree, I mean, you just decide what tree it is. Is it the tree of life, or is it the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And when the occult says that it's the tree of life, then they mean the other one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. By the way, in the Kabbalah, the tree of life is the central theme of the Kabbalah. And the tree of life really is not the tree of life. It's called the Sephiroth. And it really is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it's that tree that that turns a mortal into a god, is what that represents. And that represents the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then we have there's the Maypole and all the May Queens wrapping their DNA strands around this great big gigantic pole, which is a symbol for a you-know-what. That's what it is. And every year on May 1st, you have the May Queens dancing around, just like Led Zeppelin said. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. You have the May Queens dancing around the Maypole, twining their DNA strands around it. And basically, it's just this pagan fertility, guess what it really represents, ceremony. Okay? And that's what it is. And so anytime you have something like this being enacted right in front of everybody, basically, they're just, it's kind of like, we're doing this right in front of you, but we're all going, ooh, ah, that looks so neat. Oh, that's just so traditional. And then I noticed this. To me, this was the interesting thing right here. Okay? This topped it all. Now, I know that, who was it, Voldemort, the guy from Harry Potterhead, made an appearance, and there was this great big gigantic baby doll, and the National Health Service with all the beds. And, oh, by the way, just so that you'll know, those of you who live in the Great Britain metropolitan area, the first thing that I saw, I did watch part of the opening ceremony. Somebody had posted it on Facebook. And I have to admit that I am a fan of British humor. I think there's just something about British people speaking in this proper English slang being funny. I think it's hilarious. I think British comedy is some of the most funniest things in the world. It almost tops Abbott and Costello and the Three Stooges as far as I'm concerned. But I kind of, just a little bit, am a fan of Mr. Bean. And if you've never watched Mr. Bean, he made an appearance at the London Olympics, and it was just classic Mr. Bean, and it was just good humor. But then you have all of this, cult things going on, and what does this mean? What is this? What symbolism does this take on? Well, there's five. Let's make it simple. There's five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side to the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so we have five here. And what does that have to do with rain? Well, I want you to think of this, okay? And in fact, we've covered this before. You got your can open. Get your can opener ready and open your can of King James Bible. We have dealt with this idea before. It's sort of like the concept of the age of Aquarius and the Aquarius symbol. You have two waves of water, one over the other. And it just dawned on me one day, the symbolism of the days of Noah. I mean, that is precisely what Jesus said to be looking at, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And I'm going to go back to this graphic here for a minute, because we know that the days of Noah, and there's several things that go along with this. I don't have time to deal with them all today. But we know that the days of Noah, from the time it started raining, there's a clue right there. From the time it started raining on the 17th day of the second month to the time that the waters stopped rising up was the 17th day of the seventh month, which is exactly 5 months. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 circles. And then you have, and a circle represents like a month. There's, you know, a month is cyclical. And then you go to Revelation chapter 9, the sounding of the fifth trumpet. You have the locusts that come out, that they come out for exactly 5 months, and they hurt men, and men want to die, but they can't do it. And so we know that the waters of the flood have something to do with the number five. But then we look at Genesis chapter 7. The Bible says in verse 11 that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, so the water comes up from the ground, and then the windows of heaven were open. And so here we have a depiction of the windows of heaven. Now, if you live in the Midwest, rain is a blessing right now. We got blessed by some just good saturating rain on Sunday, and we get to finally mow the grass this week. Yippee! Yahoo! But we also know that in the last days, that rain, the rain that came down in the days of Noah, was not one of those, oh, wow, it's raining. Oh, this feels so good. I just love that. I just love the rainy days and happy days. That's not how it was. They were all beating on the side of the ark going, let us in, let us in. And Moses said, I can't let you in. I'm not the one that shut the door. And so I want you to think of this concept of things coming down and things rising up from the earth. And we've dealt with this before. But then we take our Bibles and we go to Revelation chapter 12, and we have a wonder in heaven. And let me just reiterate this again. I want you to write this down somewhere. When the book of Joel and in the book of Acts, where it talks about wonders in heavens above, everybody is wanting to look at astrology. They're wanting to look for UFOs. They're thinking that the comet Elenin. Do you remember the comet Elenin? The comet Elenin that was supposed to bring in the tribulation, it was supposed to crash to the earth, it was supposed to be Nibiru, it was supposed to be Planet X, it was supposed to be powered by space aliens, it was supposed to do all of these things, and none of it ever happened. You're looking at the wrong signs. You're looking at the wrong wonders. The wonders of heaven mentioned in Joel chapter 2, let me get my thumb here where you can see it, Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, those wonders are enumerated in the scripture, so you don't have to guess. Is that one of the wonders? Ooh. You don't have to guess. You just read the Bible. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun. And then verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Well, that's two. That's plural. That's wonders. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. You won't believe what I found out yesterday about those seven heads. It's absolutely amazing. I'm not going to tell you yet. It's in the stew pot, but it's not ready to eat yet. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and they cast them to the earth. That's the rain coming down. There's going to be a storm coming. I want you to look at this graphic again. Let's see here. Where it is. And I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 9. Take a look at this, okay? Because here's what God said. And I just believe what God said. Genesis chapter 9. God said, behold, I established in Genesis 9:9, behold, I established my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. By the way, that's Genesis 9:11. Okay, I like that. And anyway, God said, this is the token, a sign. This is the token of the covenant which I make between you, me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. Jesus is that bow. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass. When I bring a cloud over the land, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And so there is an occult symbolism to this. And from what I know of the scripture and what I can see, and what, you know, when I see things like this, I'm immediately thinking of what saith the scripture. And I do clearly see here that there's a notion that there is going to be a rain coming, and everybody's going to say, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, but it's not going to be good for everybody. Okay, just so you know. And then we have our old buddy Glenn, the Cyclops, Glenn Beck, the Cyclops, the Mormon Cyclops. And people started sending me this picture. They're going, Pastor Mike, it looks like you were right about Glenn Beck. There's something not right with this guy. And then we've kind of talked about him before. We did a video called the Rick Warren New Age, Glenn Beck, the Great Falling Away, you know. And Glenn Beck is not a good person. He is a Mormon. And his theology is skewed. He worships another Jesus and another gospel. And he portrays that. He did it on his TV show when it was on Fox, and he does it on his radio show. And then he has his own little thing going, and he's got his own little TV show. And we noted that there was a skull and bones on the pillows on his couch. Well, now here he is showing up at a speech somewhere wearing this eyeball T-shirt. Okay? And somebody pointed it out to me, and I did a close-up just to check it out. The eyebrow, I want you to look at the eyebrow. It's actually, from what I can tell, it looks like two serpents, one with its tail in the other's mouth. That's the Ouroboros. That is the sons of God and the daughters of men, because Fat Albert Pike tells you that the tail of the serpent represents the male. Huh, wonder why. And the open mouth of the serpent represents the female. That could probably mean more than one thing, I can tell you that. But anyway, it's the insertion of the tail into the mouth, and that is the Hieros Gamos, or the sacred, the great rite ritual, the sons of God and daughters of men. And that's what that represents. And it's no wonder, because you got to remember that Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And if you go to the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is what you see. Should it not? And somebody do this for me real quick. I'm going to leave this up while I talk. And I want somebody to count the number of rays that are coming out of this eyeball at the Mormon Temple. And let me know how many there are on there very, very quickly. And I'm going to kind of be waiting for that. I'm going to leave it up there while I talk. But you need to understand that Glenn Beck does not serve the same God that you and I serve. And yet he's going around out there. And James Robeson, he's all buddies with him and all the Roman Catholic priests and everything like that. And it's like they're all serving the same God. This same symbol is seen in the Vatican. It's on the back of the $1 bill. It's the spirit that pervades America. It's supposed to be the all-seeing eye of God, but it's not. It's a different God, okay? It's the and this is the eyes that, or one of the eyes that the devil was wanting everybody to open up if they ate the fruit. So how many rays do we have coming out of this eyeball? Do we have a final total? Okay, I think I'm being told 28. Does that sound right to everybody? 28 rays coming. I was kind of thinking there were 32. But anyway, so it's no wonder that our buddy Glenn Beck is the way he is, and he's wearing, I mean, he's like been there, done that, and got a T-shirt. Okay? That's what he's got. He's got the T-shirt, and he's wearing his God. He's wearing the garment of his God is what he's doing. And just beware of the leaven of Glenn Beck. And then, let's see, what else did I have? Oh, somebody posted this on Facebook. You remember that picture of all the people in the Situation Room at the White House watching as the SEAL Team 6 went in and killed Bin Laden? And there was a copy of this picture posted in the Jerusalem Post or something like that, a Jerusalem Israel newspaper. And I want you to look at them very closely, because the one posted in the Jerusalem newspaper does not have Hillary Clinton in it. She's gone. She's not there. But then the one that's distributed by the White House has Hillary Clinton in it. And so you have to ask yourself the question. Which one was the original? Was Hillary there, or was she not there? And it's the exact same photograph. It's the exact same one. But where is the picture? Where is Hillary in the one that was put in the Jerusalem newspaper? Where is she? And then somebody noted in the background there's a woman sticking her head through the door in the top photo that does not appear in the bottom photo, where Hillary Clinton's kind of where Hillary Clinton's head was. And it's just one of those anomalies, kind of like Barack Obama's mama's picture, Obama's mama's picture, where it looks like she has her arm holding on to Barack Obama's at his side. And when you look at the hand, it's the hand of a black guy. Okay? What's going on with that? And so, and I'm using this illustration to say this, okay? If you look at both of these pictures very carefully, you're going to be hard pressed to find out which one's the real one. I mean, obviously, one of them's photoshopped. Which one is it? And we can't tell. Somebody maybe that's an expert might be able to tell. But I can't tell just by looking at this which one was photoshopped and which one was not. I don't have a clue. And so here's the point that I'm making with this, okay? We see things on television. We see videos given to us on TV. We see things on the Internet. We see videos on the Internet. And I'm telling you that we live in such an age right now that people can lie at just about anything and make you believe it, even with a photograph. Now, there are pictures floating around the Internet of archaeologists digging up giants' bones. I don't automatically believe those, and I'll tell you why. There was a picture went around in the 90s of, and one of these pictures, and it's still floating around, of archaeologists digging up, doing a dig, and finding these giant skeletons. And it was pointed out that they actually showed the original photograph where there are no giant's bones. They're not there. So what's happening? They're either taking them out, and they were there, or they weren't there, and somebody photoshopped them in. And it's interesting, we just have a verb based upon a software product that we use all the time, Photoshop. Well, we photoshopped that in, meaning that it wasn't in the original photograph, and we put it in there and blended it in such that you can't tell the difference. It's just like UFO videos, and it's like UFO pictures, or it's like pictures of giant skeletons, or pictures of Hillary Clinton, or anything else in the world. We can't tell whether or not these things are true. And so if I were to run around the country with photographs of giant skeletons entombed in something and showed everybody, and it came out to be that this was a hoax, it wasn't real, then what does that say about Mike Hoggard? That Mike Hoggard is willing to even put forward a hoax to get people to believe what he's saying. And I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in forwarding somebody else's potential hoax. Are the pictures real? Could be. I think according to the scriptures that somebody somewhere ought to be seeing some bones laying around that are really, really, really big. The problem is I can't trust, and you can't even trust photographs anymore. Can't trust them. What do we trust? Can a King James Bible. That is where our hope and our trust is. And I always, I'm going to spend the rest of my life, however long or short that is, trying to get people convinced that it's the Word of God. Let me do this. Let me let you in on a little something here. Where's my pieces of paper? The subject of the Friday night discussion we're going to have here at La Bethel La Church is prophecy, prophets, dreams, and visions, and how to know you're hearing from God. Okay? Does it sound cool? Prophecy, prophets, dreams, and visions, how to know you're hearing from God. Now, don't buy Perry Stone's video on this same subject, because he's not going to tell you the truth. I'm going to give you sola scriptura, which means only the scriptures. I'm going to show you what the scriptures say about these topics. I did a search one time of the word prophets in the King James Bible. And I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed that a majority of the times where the word prophets is used, especially in the Old Testament, it's not good. there are false prophets everywhere. How can we know that God is the one who is speaking, especially when God said, the prophet spoke, but I didn't say something? So how do we know that this is going to happen? And that'll be the topic du jour Friday night. And I'm seriously considering on Saturday having an open forum, probably in the afternoon, having an open forum where I will take questions from the congregation, and I will also take questions via the Pastor Mike online at gmail.com, take questions from the people out there on subjects related to what's going on, the Denver shootings or the Olympics or whatever you want to talk about. If I feel like you're not setting me up, I'll deal with your topic. Let's get to your emails today. I don't know that I'm going to get through all of these today. I really don't. There is quite a lot. And again, I want to say to you that if you have any questions, send them to PastorMikeOnline at gmail.com, and I'll try to get to them. And if I don't have a chance to get to them today, then we'll do it again on Thursday. You're the one that makes this show possible, and so we want to give it to you. This came in from Flavio. And Flavio sent it to me on Thursday. He said, Pastor Mike, help me understand, if Jesus is God, God was manifested in flesh, how is it that he died on the cross if God is the Alpha and Omega? Is dead equivalent to being translated? I can say Jesus translated to the spirit form. Therefore, is no dead thing in God, just translation? If so, and yet Flavio does not speak English as his primary language. So there's a little problem in reading the email. And he says, I have a good friend that I try to teach, but I'm stuck on the Trinity, three in one, or three different entities that work for one cause. What about when Mary Magdalene touched Jesus, and Jesus told her not to touch, for he was not seen of the Father? Thank you for your time, and I know you answer a lot of questions. So let me just deal with this. And Flavio, you ask a good question, and let me just answer it according to Scripture. And even in your inability or my inability to understand it, let's just believe what God said. You mentioned John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I want you to notice that the word Word is three times in this one verse. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and then the Word became flesh, and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here you do actually see a differentiation between the Word and the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one, and yet Jesus then said, I go to the Father. On the day of Jesus' baptism, what you see, and this is, I am totally Godhead. Okay, I believe it. I believe it 100%. I've tested it into to the measure of Scriptures. I do not find the Scriptures wanting on this issue. Be careful of someone who tries to wrap your head in a different direction other than believing in the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Don't listen to these people. You're not required to. You don't need, and you know what people are going to do? They're going to try to come to you, and they're going to try to tell you, see, it doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't. If it doesn't make sense, it's not true. That's not true. Just because we cannot comprehend the full and complete nature of the Godhead does not change the plain, understandable teaching of Scripture. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, walking up out of the water at his baptism, and the Holy Ghost lights upon his shoulder. By the way, somebody wrote to me, Vasily, if you're listening today, I did get your email. Thank you very much for sending it. I'm going to answer it this way. Jesus coming up out of the water, and the question that I think Vasily asked was, his uncle, who speaks Greek, was saying that he has a problem with the King James calling the Holy Ghost it. Well, the Scripture says the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove, and it landed on, and it's, the it is referring to the dove, and it landed upon his shoulder, and then here we have the voice. We have the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So in one location and at one place and at one time, we have the Father who speaks from heaven. We have the Son who ascends up from the water. And then we have the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove lighting upon his shoulder. That's the Godhead. They are not They are one, and yet they're not all the same. In other words, you'll have the Oneness Pentecostals, and you'll have other groups. You'll have a bunch of YouTube rednecks out there that think they're smarter than everybody else and think that every doctrine that you and I believe came out of the Roman Catholic Church, and that's stupid. And so they're trying to make a point. They're trying to bring disciples to themselves. They sit around, I don't know, smoking their marijuana or their cigarettes, drinking their scotch, and they're trying to tell you about Bible doctrine when you can read the Bible for yourself and understand Bible doctrine. So you just believe 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And God the Father allowed Flavio, allowed Jesus to take on flesh. This is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and that flesh died, showing us that it's the flesh that must die so that you and I can rise again from the dead. God not only just said that from heaven, he showed it to us in the physical, visible, tangible form of Jesus, who is the Almighty God. In fact, the Bible says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He and the Father are one. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so, yes, Jesus is God. Yes, the Father is God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God. And these three are one, and yet they are individual at the same time. And we have a problem understanding that, but we just believe what the Scripture says. Dahlia, how you doing, Dahlia? I hope you're listening today. I know this is from last Thursday. Pastor Mike, may the Most High bless you and your family and your ministry. You have some questions. Number one, who's sitting in Moses' seat? Why wish you'd give me scriptures on this? I'm trying to bring it to my mind. It doesn't ring a bell. I know I've heard that before in the scriptures. Then she says, who is the synagogue of Satan? I actually dealt with that in a pure Bible study. I don't remember how long ago, going through the book of Revelation, back when we were dealing with the seven churches. At Pergamos, you have the synagogue of Satan. And I had some people send me some information about an old temple that used to be there that literally was the synagogue of Satan and so on. And I understand that. But I think right now, every place the Jews meet, and I'm not anti-Jewish, and you know that, but every place the Jews meet right now, that's the synagogue of Satan, okay? And you have to be careful. And this would go into the idea, well, now that I'm a Christian and Gentile, should I become a Jew now? And the answer is no, okay? Who's your father, the devil? Yes, okay? Year of your father, the devil. It literally means Satan. Verse number four, she asks, who is our Savior, Christ? Repeatedly identifies the enemy of our heavenly. I don't understand this. I don't understand the question. His enemy, which hold all authority and power over the world. I don't really understand the question. Okay. So, Dolly, if you want to rewrite the question and send it to me at a later time, I'd love to take care of it. All right. By the way, I'm going to Chick-fil-A tomorrow. Hope to see you there. I'm going to eat me some big old chicken sandwiches. Let's see here. Greetings, Pastor Mike. And I haven't read, I've not pre-read these, so I'm just kind of go through these. Some of these are too wordy and too long, and I'm going to skip over them. Some of them are right on, and I'm going to deal with them. Let's see here. This is a note from somebody in Kenya. I'll read that later. Appreciate that. This one is too wordy from John, but he wants to say thanks, and I appreciate that. Let's see here. Johan wants me to watch a YouTube video. Sorry, I can't do it. Let's see here. Let me skip. Here is Junior Watchman, who says it's on your Pastor Mike Online. Do you have full episodes of this instead of chopped up on YouTube? God bless. Yeah, I do. Look for them. Okay, do a search, and you'll seek, and you shall find. And I think we're probably in the process already of migrating most, if not all, of our content over to Sermon Audio. And so you should be able to watch everything there on Sermon Audio. Let's see here. Brother Hoggard, this is from John. I should appreciate your teachings and stand for the Holy Bible. I've been following some of your teachings for several years now. You sound like you're a lot like me on some things. You seem to have come out of Free Will Baptists. I've been an independent. Now, I don't think that's fair to say that. If we came out of the denomination, But I'm not segregating myself from Free Will Baptist pastors or anything like that, nor am I segregating myself from Southern Baptists or Independent Baptists. We just believe what the Scriptures say, and I think I made that clear the other day. He says, I've been an Independent Baptist missionary for 24 years and have had to resign from two sending churches primarily because they're getting away from the KJV. Good for you. Good for you, missionary. He says, kind of scary for a missionary, but we got to do what is right, and I appreciate that. He said, I'm sure that's at least partly the reason you came out of the Free Will Baptist. Concerning what you've been talking about in your latest Calvinism versus Arminianism issue, personally, I'm neither. And then he gives me some websites to look at, and I appreciate that. Let's see here. Somebody wants to share with me a documentary. Can't do that right now. Let me get to some simple questions, and I will deal with them. Somebody named Robert says you might want to be careful about taking a stand against the man of God. Oh, okay, I'm going to read this one. He sends me a next email. He said, I'm listening to you talk so much stuff about Perry Stone, and half the stuff you're saying, you don't know what you're saying. Well, I did. I knew exactly what I was saying. I wasn't drunk. Like one of the things you were saying was you were talking about his dad seeing many books in heaven. First of all, you don't know what God might show people. It is called his testimony. Really? Well, anyway, you said about the many books in heaven that our side of the book of life, that the rest are written records of your sins. Well, guess what? You're wrong, buddy, because the Bible names some of the other books beside the book of life. Here's one of them, Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Well, that's the Bible. Okay, so now you can see there's a book of remembrance. Yeah, it's called the King James Bible. Next, I want to talk about his dad seeing his friend in heaven. It was a vision he saw. Look what the Bible says about this in Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all your flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And I'm going to deal with that Friday. And he said, look what this is saying. They shall prophesy with what visions and dreams. It is in the Bible. But what he did, Robert, was necromancy. He wasn't talking to God. He wasn't hearing from God. He was hearing from a dead guy. He was hearing from a familiar spirit. Now he says, next I want to talk about the meal that heals. You're saying about Perry Stone that he can't say that you can get healing and be saved from the bread. But what you don't know is that being saved that Perry was talking about is the same saved that is in this verse. James 5:14, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And I believe exactly what the Bible says, Robert. But anyway, he's telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And you didn't listen. If you're saying I don't know half of what I'm talking about, you didn't listen to half of what I was saying. I was quoting Perry Stone verbatim. And Perry Stone said that the eating of the communion daily was essential in your atonement, in your salvation. It's not. He's a liar for saying that. He said, oh yeah, don't forget about this one. Acts chapter 19, verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And they used handkerchiefs and aprons. If they can use things in the Bible, I think it is okay if we use bread, just like oil or handkerchiefs, for people to be healed. It is in the Bible, all of it. Look, you might want to be careful when talking about a man of God. I am careful. There could have been someone that was getting saved by listening to Perry, and then you would come along and make him look bad. I'm not making the guy look bad. He is. And they give up and go back out in the world unsaved because, listen, I don't take away man's salvation, Robert. If somebody's saved, I don't pluck them out of God's hand. Perry Stone doesn't put them in God's hands either. Neither does Mike Hoggard. And I'm just telling you, what I dealt with on Perry Stone, I dealt with what he said versus what the Scripture says, and he was wrong. And if somebody wants to do that about Mike Hoggard, Robert, put up a blog, take exactly what I say, what comes out of my mouth, and measure it up against Scripture. That's all you have to do. Thomas. Thomas says, the other day I was listening to one of your recordings where you made reference to God and the devil in a game of chess, and how God makes the move for himself and for the devil, and the devil pridefully and foolishly thinks the move is in his own favor, all the while God is in control. I thought that was a very good scenario for thought. Pride is blinding. Amen. And I remember that now. I remember talking about God playing. The chess game is all God's. He's the one who moves all the pieces. I just believe God's in control of everything. Pastor Mike, this is from Rosemary. According to Scripture, Paul is awaiting his resurrection in his order. Is this not correct? I'm not sure. You probably should send me the Scripture on that so I can have a reference, all right? Let's see here. That's too long. Let's see here. Let's see here. Phyllis says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. I find your teachings on YouTube last week and have been very blessed. You are only the third pastor I know that teaches truth and not traditions of man. It's a real treasure from God. Please keep my family in prayer, as the church I left a few weeks ago, where they are still at, is preaching pre-trib rapture and also the Rick Warren Celebrate Recovery Program." Now, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the church teaching a pre-trib rapture. I don't think you should have a problem with it either. It may be wrong, but it's not dangerous. Okay? I look for the Lord to come, and if he leaves us down here for a while and we get messed up a little bit, so what? If he comes and takes us in the air immediately, then so be it. He'll do it according to the Scripture. But the Celebrate Recovery Program I have a problem with. I know my son has a strong calling to be a true leader for our Heavenly Father. He has gifts and also plays drums there. God gave me a gift for singing and for his glory as well, but I felt I must leave because of the things that were there. There is a spirit of Jezebel in there. There you go. You're discerning something. And I want no part of that. My son, daughter-in-law, and grandkids all still go there. Thank you for all that you do for the mighty glory of God. And I'll say this to you, Phyllis. You're just like everybody else out there in the world that is encountering. You're just having to separate. And it's not easy to do that kind of separation from people. It's just not. And it hurts. Is what it does. Daniel writes in and says, "I've been listening to..." And I'm going to do something here real quick, do a little technical thing, and here we go. There. Okay, got it. Anyway, he says, "I'm a member of a Southeast Christian church in Louisville, Kentucky, and I like the people there. The problem I have with that church is that sometimes they quote passages from the Message Bible, and it just sets my soul on fire with anger. The Message Bible is like the world's interpretation of God's holy word. It is so watered down that I'm consumed with jealousy for God and Jesus' words. I've been wanting to take this up with the pastors, but haven't done it yet. God has made me from childhood not to be afraid of confrontation." Boy, he did not make me that way, I can tell you, Daniel. "But I want to go in God's Spirit through the Lord Jesus, not for my glory. Will you give me your insight on this problem and what you have had experience with in confronting fellow Christians? Thank you, Pastor Mike, and I look forward to hearing from you." And he says, "I also called your office and left my number on your answer machine." Well, I appreciate that, Daniel. Here's what I'm going to say to you, okay? I don't want to use the words good luck because I don't believe in that. But I believe you're right in praying, and I believe you're right in wanting to seek the Lord in this matter and make sure that God's in it. A guy called me yesterday from Western Tennessee, he said. And boy, he sounds just like he's from Western Tennessee. I just enjoyed talking to him. But he said a couple years ago, his pastor said, "Yeah, we're going to bring in some rock and roll music here and let everybody, so we can get some young people in here. Anybody got a problem with that?" And he said, "No, Pastor, if it brings them in, I'm okay with that." And he said, "I started watching some of your stuff." And he said, "I have a problem with it. I have a problem with this music that's going on now." And he said, "They're doing in our church exactly what you said they were going to do." And he said, "I'm going to go to a meeting on Sunday, and I'm going to bring it up at the meeting." And I said, "I'm going to pray for you then, because you're fixing to get into a hornet's nest." And Daniel, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to pray for your pastor, or pray for whatever pastors are in that church. And I want you to pray for him. I want you to fast for him. Because God can break him. God can change his mind. But, by and large, a majority of the pastors, especially when they've reached down to the depths to get the Message Bible out and use it, have very little or no discernment. And if you just bring this up to them, they're going to be angry with you. And at some point, they're going to turn their back on you. You're going to find yourself sitting outside the front doors of the church singing, "Who'da thunk it?" You won't be there very long. And because others have tried it. They go to their pastor. They go to their pastor in tears. "Pastors, please, will you listen to me? I think we ought to just stick with the King James." "Oh, no, come on. You're not one of them. Have you been listening to Mike Hoggard?" And that's how they'll do it. So, Daniel, let me know how it works. Okay? And I have not watched all of the Pet Goat video. Just letting you know. I haven't watched it all yet. Going to. Haven't got to it yet. Let's see here. Stephen wants me to watch a YouTube video. let's see here. There's a church that did the, and I've had several send this to me, that are doing Michael Jackson's Thriller in church. And it's just ignorant. Let's see here. Kenneth writes in and says, Pastor Mike, what's wrong with the Geneva Bible, which was published before the KJV and was brought to America by the Pilgrims? It's a highly accurate translation. I listen to your Watchmen podcast on my Roku every week. It is highly accurate, but it is not perfectly accurate. The Geneva Bible makes additions to the text, and it and some of the words are not accurate. And the Geneva Bible was one of the things that when the King James translators had a mission given to them from King James, God put it in his heart that they were to take the Geneva, they were to take some of the other previous Bishop's Bible and some others, and they were to compare them and revise them based upon what they agreed the Greek text and the Hebrew text was saying. And so the Geneva Bible is almost good, but God has a high standard. And there are some people out there that hate the King James Bible because they've been fed some wrong information. They've been fed the information that, number one, King James was a homo. I don't know that he was or that he wasn't. Okay, but he didn't translate it. Number two, they're saying that, he was a Mason, and the Masons got a hold of that Bible, and the Masons translated it, and Francis Bacon was a Rosicrucian, and he did it. That's not true. It's not true. But that's what's going around. And so people are going back before the King James to what they think is a better Bible. It's the Geneva, and it's not. It's not a better Bible. Let's see here. Oh, and there is a new version of the Bible coming out, and I've got a dozen people telling me this. It's the Bible translation in a screenplay format. Needless to say, I can tell you, don't read it, okay? Let's see here. Maurice. No, I can't do that one. You're sending me links here. Ask me questions. I want questions. Send me questions. Let's see here. Hi, Pastor Mike. This is from Andrew. Hi, Pastor Mike. I think I can imagine how you might feel about this. To me, it seems to be diminishing the Word of God to something trivial. And that is, an Auckland, New Zealand church is to host church services in a pub. That is short for a public house. Okay? In other words, a bar. Let's see here. Are we into today already? This is today's emails. All right, here we go. David Nelson writes, I was thinking about your teaching on the missing piece, and I recently saw the end of the movie The Iron Giant. No, I haven't seen that movie. The robot gets broken into pieces, and at the end he starts coming back together. Ta-ta-ta! The kid in the movie has what it looks like could be the robot's missing piece in a box. It even looked quite phallic. I would love to hear your comments on this. David, I've never seen the movie, but I think you got it. I think you understand now the symbolism of this. And I'm kind of getting to where I don't need to explain and deal with every movie in the world and every TV show and every commercial in the world, because you guys are getting it. You're seeing the symbolism that's going on. The latest Spider-Man movie, okay? I thought it was awful, okay, as far as movies are concerned. And to me, it was like an hour and a half commercial for, let's change everybody's DNA to reptilian, because that's what it was. And so anyway, you're getting it. Let's see here. Bobby's listening from Ohio. Appreciate that. Watcher Doyle says, I love the Watcher broadcast on murderer. Romans 1:29, verse 31, lists 23 things are sinful nature. The seventh in the list is murder. Hey, that's pretty good. Is this related to the 46 words spoken to Eve by Lucifer serpent in Genesis 3 in the 20th? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how we got all that stuff in there, was that sin was embedded into us. We are born, we have a genetic disposition to sin, and it was given to us by our father, the devil. Okay? Let's see here. Sarah's asking me, what is your opinion of the upside down mountains that Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli keep referring to? I don't know what that is. That's a new one to me. And Sarah says, I've quit listening to a lot of other prophecy, quote-unquote, teachers that came out of the whole prophetic, hyper-charismatic movement. Good for you, and I'm going to deal with that Friday. I thank the good Lord for delivering me from that, but I have noticed that a lot of these guys who are into the prophecy teachings and stuff seem to be sort of in that charismatic stuff. You don't have to say these men's name on the air. Some teachers who I was listening to for a while. I have noticed their language or choice of words rather than, and it seems to be charismatic lingo language. Am I wrong to come to that conclusion? No, I don't think so. I've also noticed, and I'll not say names because I've talked to one, that some of these teachers only focus on their research of Nephilims and aliens, but hardly ever, ever, if at all, talk about Jesus. You're on to something, Sarah. Talk about reaching the lost, about salvation. Is it just me, Pastor Mike, but have you noticed an imbalance in that area of prophecy teaching? It seems like the charismatic's all about spiritual power, or it's all about research. Yeah, listen to what they say, and then kind of think about what they don't say. Listen to the lingo they're using, and then kind of think, well, is that in the King James Bible? So it's a good one. Andrea is going to ask me a very, very, and this is a big one. What is the unpardonable sin, and how does it relate to testing the spirits? I don't know that it is related. The unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, some have tried to define that one way or the other. I think it has something to do with the body being the temple and defiling the temple being an unpardonable sin, because him shall God destroy is what the Bible says. Is it related to testing the spirits? No, and let me tell you this, Andrea. God wants you to test spirits. It's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to have something said to you and then say, God, is this right? God, is this okay? God, can we do this? Can we believe? There's nothing wrong with that. And God's not going to get ticked off or upset with you because you're Samuel laying in bed and he had to call you four times. If I have to call you four times, you better be over here, boy. That's not what God did. God had long-suffering and patience with Samuel so that Samuel had enough discernment to know that it was God. I would rather question God 20 times, 490 times in one day, and know that it was him rather than not question because somebody said, oh, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit if you question that. I would rather question God and know than not question and dive off into something that is not of God. You have every right. God gives you, Andrea, every right to protect your soul. This is what he does. So you ask away, sister. Let's see here. John says, my wife and friends believe Joyce Myers is a, quote, woman of God in ministry. Really? I do not. I look at her as a word faith-based and borders on promoting contemplative prayer. A few helpful words would be appreciated. Thanks again for your ministry. It's worse than that, John. She's a witch. She teaches and practices witchcraft by word faith. That's what word faith is. It's witchcraft. You say the word. You say the magic words. God has to do. You're invoking the powers to do your bidding for you, and that is witchcraft. She operates in that spirit. She teaches rebellion against authority. That's witchcraft, right? See, God tells you how to identify these people. And I'm still looking in the scripture for the marks of a false prophet is that they have a $35,000 bathroom. I'm thinking it's in there somewhere because she does. Let's see here. Edwin. How you doing, Edwin? Good to hear from you. I have a question regarding looking for a Sunday school. In my case, you know I live in Jakarta on the other side of the earth. Boy, is it really. Yet I think the principle applies for me, KJV, or not at all. Since there are not many churches using it here, how would you go around when they use NIV or any other Bible in their Sunday school teaching? Especially when the pastor starts to explain about the original Hebrew and Greek as well. Textual criticism. What is it? Sounds familiar. Or familiar, as in a spirit. Are you asking about Sunday school literature? Or now, if you're looking for Sunday school literature, I know that Abeka Books, down in Pensacola, Florida, they print King James only Sunday school literature. And I'm pretty sure you can trust it. And, you know, if you find one thing in there you don't agree with, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I wouldn't want you to do that with me. And so anyway, but if in the absence of that, just watch our Sunday school services online if you can. We're just going to teach right out of the King James Bible. Let's see here. Bill says, God bless your broadcast today. Thank you, Bill. Troy says, hello, Pastor Mike. Great job. Love the newest watch broadcast. And he says, now, in the 77, I'd like to ask about 777. I know I see a lot of people going around with a username that has 777 on it. What do you think about that? I know a guy that even went as far as to get a tattoo of the numbers. And do you think the King of the North is America from Daniel 11? No, I don't think so. I think the North is that spiritual entity. As far as the number 777 being on people, I know that Aleister Crowley wrote a book called Liber 777. And it's an occult book, and so and maybe they're getting that number from that. I am currently not aware, although I have not counted every little stitch in my King James Bible, I'm currently not aware of something in the Bible. Well, no, that's not true. That is not true. Jeremiah 32 is the 777th chapter of the Bible. I just remembered that. And it deals with the sealed book and so on and so on. And there may be an occult connection to that, so kind of look at that. But I don't know that I would instantaneously judge somebody because they have that number on their email or their necklace or anything like that. Joe says, Pastor Mike, for the many times I failed to tell you how your ministry blesses me, I'm telling you now, may God bless you. And I appreciate that, Joe. I think you're a good guy. Jenny says, did Jonah die and go to hell when he was in the whale's belly? The King James Scripture seems to indicate this. No, I don't think it does. Let's open up, and you ask a good question, and I hate to disagree with somebody who asks a really good question. But let's do it. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Here we go. All right, I'm there. And here's where you get it from, Jenny. Okay? And remember that Jesus said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 nights and three days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Now, Jonah 2, where is my, here it is, right here. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Okay? I know of no instance, Jenny, where someone is allowed to pray from hell and God delivers them out of it. Okay? But Jonah did use the word hell. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And I believe that Jonah is using symbolic language here, and it's prophetic language. It's prophesying. Remember, this is prophesying of Christ. Okay? Now, I would say that Christ is the one who died. And he went into the nether regions. And I sat here yesterday. I sat all day long and made 4 pages of notes on the pit, the ditch, hell, the cave, the grave, the deep, or prisons, or darkness, or holes, or the mouth, and so on. And I'm just gobsmacked at what I'm finding. This will show up one of these days in a Watchman broadcast. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to have the time to sit and take 4 pages of notes in one day in studying. The word pits mentioned 88 times in the Bible. And then I'm looking at the word grave. That's, I don't know how many times that's in the Bible. And it's numerous, hundreds of times, and I'm trying to sort through every one of those. And it requires time on my part. I have to teach myself more. And this is one of the reasons why I really can't focus on every single email that comes in. And I want you to know that you're the reason why I'm doing this. I'm doing it for the Lord, but I'm doing it for you. And so I'm in a situation where I have to be a steward of my time the way God would have me to do it. And I hope you understand that, okay? And no, it's not about me hitting the big time. And I don't have time to deal with the little people. That's not true. And I hope you understand that. But anyway, he said, I think Jonah was prophesying here of the one who is going to be in hell. For he says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas." And if you want to study, that there's that phrase, the deep and the seas and the ditch and the grave and the pit and all of that stuff. They're all pictures, prophetic pictures or linguistic pictures of hell itself. And so I don't believe for a second that Jonah died and went to hell. I believe that literally he was alive in the whale's belly. And I'll tell you what, that's torture in itself. I believe he was alive and in that whale's belly. Okay? And I'm being notified that today is Bonnie is downstairs, and today is her birthday. Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. Let's see here. And Flavio heard me deal with the Trinity. And he says, old King James Bible, only true Bible. I appreciate that, Flavio. Good to have you with us today. Bob says, Pastor Mike, will you please run through the homecoming agenda? Thanks, my wife and I are planning on seeing y'all. I appreciate that. Friday night, I know exactly what I'm dealing with. Saturday morning, I do not yet, but I'm working on it, all right? Friday night, we'll start. We'll have a dinner at 5. We'll start teaching at 7. Saturday morning, we're going to have biscuits and gravy here at 8 o'clock and pastries and things like that. And around 9 or so, we're going to start teaching. We're going to go till noon, have lunch, start back here about 1 o'clock or so, and go to 4 o'clock. And we'll give everybody breaks as time allows. Okay, so that's our agenda. And then Sunday, we have pretty much normal. Teresa says, I'm 58 years old and I've always been in church until just 7 or 8 years ago. Did the Bible start making sense when I began listening to teachers outside of what I had always been taught? Thank you so much. Just a thought. Never understanding anything but the apple concept of eating of the tree of good and evil all these years. Seems like the sin of Adam and Eve could have been a sexual sin since God covered them in certain areas of their body. Also, since Satan has always tried to destroy the bloodline of Jesus. This also seems to make sense. I would have to, Teresa, I would have to just disagree with that, because I think the plain biblical, what it says, exactly what it says, was that she ate of a piece of fruit. That's what it says. And I don't see any fornication going on here. We do know that there is a relation to sin and covering up the privates. But I don't think that that itself indicates that Adam and Eve and Satan had a little thing going there. Okay. So anyway, Joanne says, hi, Pastor Mike, you need to be extra, extra sweet to Alicia. After all, she is a delicate magnolia blossom these days. Perhaps treating her to a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A would make it all better. Alicia, you have fans out there. Scott says, Pastor, God bless you. Thank you for your time to put in. Question, can you give me a summation of your view of the Mark of the Beast and the meaning of 666? Also, there's a particular video that you put out that deals specifically with the Mark of the Beast. Thanks, Pastor, and keep doing the Lord's work. Yes, Scott, every video I do has something to do with the Mark of the Beast. Number one, I think it is an alteration of man's, and I have a feeling Alicia's running up here right now. I think it's an alteration of man's DNA, number one. Number two, the meaning of 666, I think, can be discerned from studying that number six in the Scripture, studying Genesis chapter 6. I would watch. Now, here she is right here. Woohoo, thank you, I'm very delicate. That's her text message. I think that we actually have a video called 666, Revelation 666 or something like that, on the number six, and I think that would help in your meeting, so I appreciate that. Andrea says, love the Watchman broadcast. The murderer, clearly the assassin, was and is demon-possessed. Do you think the number of people who died in the Aurora massacre is spiritually significant? And again, I went looking for all of these big, bad, obvious occult symbols in this murder, and I think there's some people that are trying to jam some things in there. Is it significant that there were 12 people killed? You know, maybe. But in the absence of us knowing that, we just know the behavior of those that are possessed with devils. They're murderers. And that was the point that I was trying to make. And so does it have a significance? Well, maybe. But even if it doesn't negate the spiritual condition of this man. Jennifer says, what email address do you want us to use regarding attendance at the homecoming? Any one of them. Pick one and send it to us and let us know how many is going to be there. That's a good question. Trisha, how you doing, Trisha? Hi, Pastor Mike. Awesome new plans you just announced. It's been a blessing to be able to reach you personally on the phone and in emails. It's necessary for you to better manage the massive emails. I pray this new system will work for you. God bless you, Pastor Mike, and thanks for caring about us as you do. And I really do. I don't want to leave. I don't want to do what I did the other day to anybody else. And I curled up in a little ball and cried like a baby over that thing. I mean, I'm not making that up. I did. That bothered me so bad that I let myself get into such a state that I'm just like brushing people off. I don't like that. And so anyway, I appreciate your understanding on that. Hi, Pastor Mike. I would like to know how to tell or find out if a pastor is a Freemason. Wayne, you just go and ask. That's all you have to do. Masons are not required by, from my understanding, are not required from any tenet that they have to hide their Masonic identity. If you ask one, they're supposed to tell you that they are. Okay? So you can just simply go to whoever you want to and say, are you a Freemason? Okay? That's all you have to do. Robin says, please do not use, so I can't, I'm not going to read your email. I don't know what this is. Okay? So I'm going to skip this one. Maurice sends me a picture, says it looks like a snake. I think he's talking about the Thames River. Let's see here. Pastor Mike, during the Olympic ceremony, the nations of the world flags were planted at a grass tower of Babel. Did you see this? No, but I believe it. Does it point to one world, one government, one religion? Absolutely, Stephen, and I know who you are, and I appreciate it. You're exactly right, Stephen. You're dead on. I didn't see that symbolism, but you explained it to me. That's absolutely what it's all about. Ralph says he cannot find the law kills in the King James Bible. Let me do this. Law and K-I-L-L asterisk. Okay, hang on here. The law. So somebody help me out here. I'm not finding it either. I know the letter. Oh, it's the letter. And K-I-L-L. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter is the Old Testament, and the Spirit is the New Testament. That is in other places in the Bible, and I don't have it in front of me, but it is. And it says, I want you to get this, a guy named Chuck Thurston, who put me onto the idea that the body, that the cells in your body were tabernacles, he told me this. He said, Mike, most Hebrew words, there's a reason why Hebrew doesn't have vowels in it. There's only like one Hebrew letter that's a vowel, and it's Aleph. And he said that one belongs to God. It's a spirit, because vowels are made with breath only. And letters are made without breath. You know, things like that. Okay? Those do not have the throat or the voice box used. Okay? They're just clicks and sounds and, you know, things like that we do with our tongue. Okay? And he said, this is interesting. He said, it's the letter that killeth. The law is written in Hebrew with no spirit in it. It has no breath in it. And yet, the New Testament is Greek, and Greek has vowels, it has letters, it has air, it has breath, it has voice in it. And I thought that was an absolutely beautiful illustration of this. And so, while I may have said the law killeth, the Bible says correctly, 2 Corinthians 3:6, it's the letter that killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And he's obviously talking about the ministration of the law of the Old Testament. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Teresa says, let's see here, I already read this email, I think. Okay? Jackie says, there's just something written on the eye, and I couldn't find that, if there's anything. And then people are telling me there was 28, so I'm going to accept that one. 28 rays. Oh! Adrian, send that back to me again. I'm going to do something. I'm going to forward this to my personal private email address. OK, Okay. Hang on here. Let me do it. Because I don't want to miss this. Hang on. Where is the... There is the energy. Don't you wish you knew what that was? Okay. I'm forwarding that. I'm going to deal with that, and I appreciate that. It's a car commercial. It's got DNA all over it. I thought it was interesting. John says, Flash, Chinese woman gold winner is under investigation for doping, but her time even beat the best of any man in her final lap. They're now talking about Chinese experimenting with genetics and DNA and human. I don't doubt it one bit. I absolutely don't doubt it one bit. I'm telling you that the monkeying around with man's DNA is going on right now, and it doesn't surprise me that the Chinese people are first in line. Okay? They're going to get away with it, too. Let's see here. Hello, this is Isildo. Hello, Pastor Mike. Small question. I had a question about the difference between some King James Bibles where there are some minor differences. In one of your online videos, you said something about faith cometh by hearing, so it is not important if a word is written with a capital S or a small s, for example, spirit, because when you hear it, you won't hear the difference between a small or capital. So I left the question, but now recently on Sunday, you mentioned a Bible verse where you stressed that God was written with a capital G. You know, that's interesting. Should I try to get the right one, as some websites declare? We have a source that we use called Bearing Precious Seed, and Gary has actually showed me that I think Thomas, who's it, Zondervan? We ordered a bunch of King James Bibles, and as soon as Gary and Kay show up here from Rochester, New York, he opens one up and says, nope, you got the wrong Bible. Boy, I'm going, what? What are you talking about, bud? And sure enough, in one place, it should be, I can't remember what it was. I never can remember what it was. That's why I always give it to Gary. But bearingpreciousseed.com or .org is where we get them, and that's where you can get the real ones, all right? Irene says, Joel Osteen had Joseph Prince and Dallene Sizekek at his church. Does that mean they're false prophets also? Listen, you didn't see me at Joel Osteen's church, did ya? Okay? I'm just birds of a feather flock together. Okay? It's just something to keep in mind. Let's see here. Pastor Mike, there'll be six of us attending homecoming. All right, we're going to prepare for a meal for six. No, I think we have more than that. Let's see here. Oh, I like this. Barbara says, hi, Pastor Mike. Thanks for all the online broadcasts. Is there any Bible basis for singing Spirit of the Living God? Fall fresh on me. I like that song. I know you've talked about how the Bible mentions fall and falling. Think of it like this, Barbara. I think this would be accurate. Because, and we mentioned this Sunday morning when I was preaching, because the doctrine falls from the sky. God's doctrine comes down from the sky like rain. Okay? Jesus came down. Okay? He didn't fall, but he, you know... And so the Bible, the Spirit and the words of the Bible are the same. And I'm excited about Bradley. He's going to preach. He's going to close out the homecoming Sunday afternoon with his sermon called Jesus and the Bible are one. They're the same. And we've been kind of trading verses the last couple of days. And I'm excited about how he's going to preach this. But anyway, I don't think that song is necessarily bad. Okay, because we know that the doctrine falls from heaven, it distills as the dew, and God uses that to refresh the earth. And so anyway, I think that's, and I like that song, that's a neat song. Michelle says, hi, Pastor Mike. Mark and Michaela are sitting here with me watching you. Hi, Mark and Michaela, give me a high five. We got to meet them down in Houston, and it's good to hear from them again. Gina says, hi, Pastor Mike, you've already addressed this in a previous BMO, but what do you think of the Branson Prophecy Conference? Well, I was there. Okay, but I'll be honest with you. I didn't cohabitate. I didn't go sit in on all the meetings. I just didn't get into what everybody else was doing. I had other things to do. I spoke three times while I was there, and I shook hands and hugged a lot of necks and took a lot of pictures with a lot of people. That's what I went down there for. I can't say that I agree with everybody that said something down there. I can't do that. There is one person in particular, and I'm not going to say who it is, one person in particular that was at that conference that considers me as their pastor. Since that's the case, if this person, and they are a speaker, if this person is ever wrong and you ask me about it, I'm never going to say anything about it. I take that relationship seriously. I would never let you or anybody else come to me and say, you know, so-and-so in your church is doing this. I just might want to slap you. Because my people in my church, whether they sit here or they're out there, they're special to me. And one of those speakers calls me his pastor. We've talked about this. And if you ever question anything he says, you pray for the man. Okay? And don't come telling on him to me. All right? And I'm not going to say who it is. Anyway, so I obviously wouldn't agree with everybody down there. I've got a couple minutes left. Deborah, how you doing, Deborah? Hebrews 4:12, we are a Trinity created in His image, soul, character, spirit, eternal, flesh, and the Trinity, Father, character of God, spirit, eternal, and flesh, Jesus. She's getting at the idea that, yes, we are created in the image of God in Genesis. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so we are spirit, soul, and body. And that body part is the part of Jesus, where He came, took on flesh, died, and rose again, and that's what's going to happen with us. And so, Deborah, you're right on. I'm kind of getting out of using non-biblical terms. So I said Godhead, and I'm not chastising you. I'm just saying I'm kind of zoning in on saying only what the Bible says. That when I say I believe in the Trinity, that somebody's going to go, that's not the Bible. Well, I believe in the rapture, too. Not the Bible. So I believe in the translation and the Godhead. All right. But, Deborah, you're dead on. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Carla, you mentioned in passing the subject of generational curses and how to get rid of them in one of the Ten Commandment videos. And you said you'd probably do a teaching on this subject. Have you done one? And what is the title of it? Here is, Carla, here's the beginning of the notes that I have. Okay? Haven't got there yet. But since I'm changing my daily routine, I'm being more busy about finishing some of these unfinished projects. And so I will get to that, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate your understanding and everything. And let me do something else here. A guy named Peter from Nigeria. God bless you. I love Africa. Says, well done, sir. Please, what is the meaning of Babylon, that great city in Isaiah? She is the harlot. She is the spirit of this earth. She is she's listed in Revelation chapter 17, Mystery Babylon the Great. She's seen as Jezebel, and I see Caleb sneaking around in the background here. She is the she is the antithesis of the Holy Spirit of God, and she is the spirit of this very, very evil and very dark world is who she represents. All right. And I appreciate you writing that in to me today. Unfortunately, I have about 20 emails left and I won't be able to get to them. So please, what I'm asking you to do is that future questions be sent to Pastor Mike online, preferably the day of a broadcast. That way I don't get overwhelmed with old questions and I don't even know if you're listening or not. And so anyway, I appreciate that. Listen, I love you. I thank God for you. You're the reason why I'm here. I am your servant, although I don't work for you. I take orders from the Master. And the Master told me the other day, it's sort of like Moses, who Jethro's father-in-law had to come to him and say, Moses, you can't sit all day and judge everybody's stuff. Let some other people have it. And I agree with that. The apostles chose deacons because it was not meet for them to lead the word of God and serve tables. And it's not that I'm higher than and better than everybody else. That's not it. If you want to get a hold of me, there is a way to do it. And I will never turn down a phone call, never turn down an email if you need me to be your pastor. Just don't ask me to get on a plane and come visit you in the hospital because I don't think I can do that. Okay. Anyway, I love you. I appreciate you. And had a good time today just talking with you and answering your emails. All of you 20 people from Ralph on down to Jackie, who sent me an email. I don't have time to get to it today. Send it to me again on Thursday. That is after Woden's Day, right before Saturn Day. God bless you. I love you. Have a good week. We'll see you at your Bible study tomorrow.